Welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, brought to you by the South Florida chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. On the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach, we talk about the people they support, and the tools and techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches, their talents, and their client successes. Hello, I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Programming Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. If you're a coach, I'd like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, go to icfsouthflorida.org. Check out our calendar of events, and if you find an event that interests you, register for free as our guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. In today's episode, we converse with Milena Stojanovic, one of a new breed of coaches who are showing up on the scene with clear ideas and ideals, eager to move the profession of coaching into the next few decades. She comes to Miami from Serbia, did her coach training at Lumia, is in hot pursuit of her ICF ACC credential, and specializes in evidence-based coaching. Her focus is fostering mindset shifts, breaking free from limiting beliefs, and self-improvement in both individual and group work. Welcome to the show today, Milena Stojanovic. Milena, thank you so much for being here. I'm so pleased you could join us today.
Thank you, Eric, for having me. The pleasure is all mine.
Thanks for being here. Hey, Milena, just to get started, can you tell me or share with our listeners, what was your journey to coaching? What brought you to coaching? And how did you get to be here today?
I have always been in a realm of coaching ever since doing a curriculum development in Serbia and just mentoring students here in academia, working with my friends with formal education that I have as well. I was always in a realm of, I want to say, bringing the best out of people, believing in people, being their support and serving them. And I really believe that we should leave people in places better than we find them. So I have always had that art of coaching, I want to say, in me, that ICF helped with the science part. And actually my school that is ICF accredited is helped with science part. But I think I have always been a coach, you know, that sympathetic ear. I think we all start our coaching stories with that. Oh, my friends come to me whenever they have a problem or this or that, even though coaching is actually not giving advices. But, you know, you come to learn that later on. But just that coaching mentality of believing in wholeness of people, in my case, and in development, and just the ability for everyone to be able to live the best life that they want to live, and going from existing to thriving, from being optimal to whatever thriving means for them. That gives me a lot of pleasure and a great sense of joy. And I want to say, selfishly, I got into coaching for me to feel better, I guess, and to serve.
Tell me, you mentioned going to school and training to become a coach. Where did you go to school and how did you like it? And what did you think of the program?
Lumia. The name of the school is Lumia. It's like I mentioned, ICF certified level 2, I believe, school. Not to mess it up now, but yes, my experience was amazing. Amazing. I will recommend anyone that is looking into schools, check Lumia out. They have great curriculum. Of course, as someone that used to build curriculums, having a curriculum, you know, it means something for me. And at the end of the day, that's one of the reasons why I chose that school. Professors are amazing. Support is there. I have nothing but the kindest words to say for my school.
That's cool. That's a nice, bright endorsement. And do they focus mostly on technique, or do they also focus on business building or other aspects of the profession of coaching?
It's mainly to understand what the coaching is and just to expose you to different avenues of coaching, I guess. But there are also supplemental classes, business building, you know, guest speakers. There's a monthly mastery class. They do a lot of just curriculum itself and classes itself. There's a lot of help. And I'm still part of, you know, alumni, and we still support each other. And I want to say we are one big family.
That's awesome. That sounds lovely. And I'm glad to hear that there's a supportive group there and that endures and continues beyond just the program itself.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, now is probably as good a time as any to invite you, famous coaching verb, invite you to share with the listeners the kind of coaching you do, the people that you work with, and so on and so forth, if you would care to.
Yes, Eric, thank you. So I want to say that I help people and teams, organizations just to harness the power of mind, because mind is our biggest helper and it can be our biggest enemy, and just communication, to better communicate with ourselves and to better communicate with whoever we feel the need that we want to have a good communication. So it's about understanding perspectives. It's about, and it goes back to that being radically honest to ourselves, so we can love ourselves, because when we are honest with ourselves, we understand ourselves and we can only love what we understand. So I can definitely say that that also goes under the mind aspect. So it's a lot of cultivating the right mindset and bringing out what serves people, organization at that very moment, whatever that might mean for them.
So is that to say then that, I mean, you brought up organizations many times. Does that mean that you, not that you don't do one-on-ones or individual work, but it sounds like you actually are focused on working with teams within organizations. Am I getting that?
I work one-on-one with organizations. Is more what I've noticed from my practice. It's more that communication aspect, because I'm also NLP internationally certified practitioner. So it's, you know, removing those distortions, understanding each other's perspective, emotional intelligence techniques, just conflict resolution, a lot of that. And of course, one-on-one, I love, I enjoy it. I love to see the progress in my clients. So I want to say it's both equally.
And your clients are anybody, they're executives, they're housewives, they're airline pilots, whatever?
Not airline pilots yet, but they are... definitely high achievers. People that are drawn mostly to me is kind of like a reflection in a mirror. I'm a recovering perfectionist. I'm an avoider. I want to have a perfect conditions to do something. So throughout my life, and that's how I went into coaching and into that self-development and that selfish part to help myself. So it's kind of like we're drawing from our own experience. So what I've noticed is my clients are mainly people that are, first of all, aware of power of coaching. Maybe they're not completely sure what coaching is, but they get to coaching because there's an aspect in them that they want to improve. And my coaching business, it's called Recal Coaching. That stands for recalibration, because I do believe that all of us are innately whole and perfect, just how we are. Sometimes we get stuck, and that's usually the mind's thing. We get stuck into believing other words, someone else's words about us, or just believing something. And we get stuck, and it's just a matter of through frameworks and techniques and just my approach to kind of like get unstuck and get recalibrated. So yes, I do have small business owners as clients. I do have housewife students from different organizations, are mainly IT. That do acknowledge the power of emotional intelligence at work, that want to go beyond just free pizza and ping pong at workplace, that want to create that sense of community and just belonging somewhere, that are aware that you should invest in people more than maybe or equally as you invest in technology.
Beyond just the ping pong and the pizza.
Beyond just the ping pong and the pizza.
You mentioned being radically, or, you know, using or holding people accountable or being radically honest. What's that like? And how do you hold someone, or asking someone to be radically honest, forcing them to be radically honest about unpleasantness or things that they maybe are not totally honest with themselves about, or that they're self-deceiving, those can be hard to deal with. How do you use radical honesty in your practice?
I want to say it's not forcing them, definitely. You cannot force anyone to do anything. And that's where the art part comes in. That's why I believe that every coach should know more than one approach. I have a very good foundation in psychology, in philosophy, just knowing how to approach a person and using different techniques at different time, different approach at different time. But it's definitely necessary, and it can be painful, to be completely honest with ourselves. It doesn't have to be, and I'm trying to be as painless as possible. It's uncomfortable. But what I've noticed that my clients that come to me, it's what's needed in their life. So then again, they can recalibrate and understand better, do better, be better. Because once we bring something from unconscious to conscious mind and become really aware of it and just saying it as it is, it loses power. And it becomes something that, okay, now this is what's going on. How can we fix it?
Yeah, there it is. We can all see it. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah,
that's cool. And thank you for pushing me back on the ICF path too. You're right. Of course, we can't force anyone to see anything or realize anything. So thank you for that. That's a very important distinction. And so thank you. NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is pretty interesting to me. And I think some of our listeners, would you know, for those who might not understand exactly what NLP is at a higher level, would you care to sort of tell us a little bit about it? Maybe share with us, I don't know, the philosophy or the thinking behind it or your approach?
So with NLP, in a nutshell, is understanding how what we think is connected to what we say and how all the information that we receive from the outside world goes through our filters and how we actually build those filters, what impacts them, and all of the maps that we all have, and we all have them, what's in our mind, it's ours, what is not. And at the end of the day, what is serving us and what is not serving us. And to go back to the communication aspect is understanding how to communicate with people so we can get the outcome that we want. That's in the simplest words, and at least how, you know, how I understood it and how I use it. I've studied under an amazing trainer in Serbia, and I was in NLP school for a year. With time difference, I remember waking up at 2:30 a.m. every morning just to, you know, to attend to my lectures. And I'm so, so happy that I did it that way. Sometimes because I've learned it in Serbian when I need to kind of like translate it in English, just like coaching. I've learned coaching in English. So when I work with my Serbian clients, it gets, you know, a little bit, I have to think for a second or so. But definitely NLP shows us how to actually do something, right? It's not just shooting, you know, when we're playing darts and we hope to get the bullseye. Is that how it's called? The center? NLP shows that, okay, come to the actual thing and just put it in the center. And it started just with like a thought that an excellence can be learned. So all of those successful people. So it started with Gregory Bateson, that I knew as a husband of Margaret Mead from my educational, you know, path. So it's kind of like, it was funny when I understood that connection. I was like, wow, a power couple. And he wanted to understand what makes successful people, and what is it that they do to make them successful. And it's an amazing framework, has amazing benefits in my personal life, in my professional life. What I hear from my clients that when we go into the intervention part, and maybe sometimes I suggest some of the, you know, exercises, they continue doing it and they love it. So NLP is definitely something that I'm using a lot in my practice.
That's cool. Thanks for taking us through it. That's a really apt description. And I appreciate that. Does it have a place in every coaching engagement, or does it come out as needed?
It comes out as needed.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, now's probably an interesting time to ask, you know, like, what else would you care to share about your personal coaching philosophy or your approach to coaching or your style?
Well, my style is, I want to say, I adjust it depending on who I'm with. Because to go back to that, coaching a person, not the problem. And I don't want to say adjust it in a sense of that it's still me, it's still the way I do coaching, but if I'm to kind of like, and now I'm thinking about it, and if I'm to succinct it, is active listening is a big one. Is a big one, and in practice and in everyday life, that we kind of like, we listen, but do we really hear? And just the presence, just being there for clients and holding that space. And what I tend to notice that a lot of my clients look at me as an accountability partner. That's definitely something that it's not mandatory. It's something that I've noticed we come to actually doing it, me being an accountability partner for them. And it's them realizing, okay, I have someone that checks on me, however we agree. And that makes them be even better. That's the part with that recalibration part. Also, I drawn from my own personal experience. For me, it was never enough. A new school, new technique, new program, new certification, never enough, never enough, never enough. And even though I'm a big advocate in lifelong learning, and I always say, if someone pays me to just go to school and to study, I will do that. But in one point, it becomes a time when you need to say, okay, this is not working. It's good enough. Now I know so many techniques. I see that I make change in my client's life, and I see that I'm serving them well. I wouldn't say they exceed because of me, because I would never take that upon me. That's just I want to believe that I help them down that path, and I hold that mirror and a flashlight for them, and just maybe seeing them what they need someone to see in them. But as a recovered perfectionist, like I say, for me, it was never enough. It was never good enough. It was never. So I feel like when I'm working with clients that I notice that they have those tendencies, it's just, even though to move like my biases aside and it's their floor, it just helps me understand them better. Somehow it always goes back to the mind, but I also want to say that it's not, because I was very much evidence-based, what I can see, what I can touch. With time, I've learned that there is that soul aspect, the energy aspect. So the way I kind of like now blended in my practice, you know, I believe Picasso said that learn rules like a professional so you can break them like a pro. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I didn't get my ACC yet. So I'm not breaking anything here. But it's the matter of, I believe it's a coach, big task of a coach is to know different approaches, different ways of coaching, different schools, if you want, different frameworks, techniques, you name it, so that you can make the appropriate intervention for appropriate student in that student. Here I go with my student, a client, in that very moment that will serve them. So this was a lengthy answer. I don't know if you got the answer to your question, but as you notice, I like to talk. So just stop me anytime.
Yeah. And the way it works around here is, you know, we throw the question out there, like as a good coach does, we throw the question out there, and whether it's the right question or not, we hope that the right thing that needs to get said comes out. So if that's, you know, where you went with your answer, we can only assume that's exactly where it needed to go. So thank you for that. As you were talking, I was thinking, you know, I was curious about your future in coaching and sort of where you saw it. And you seem to be such a dedicated student to the craft and with such a background, I almost wonder, it's kind of a direct question, but do you see yourself eventually teaching and mentoring coaches down the road?
Sure. Good question. I want to say yes and no. I never thought of it, but now when you said it, I'm like, yeah, well, it's a logical thing. It's a logical thing with my experience and being mentor for students for so many years. I love it. I love mentoring part of coaching, I want to say. I definitely see myself. Now when you say it, Eric, I definitely see myself down the road as a mentor to new coaches or in some type of capacity to help new coaches find their footing in coaching.
Well, I'm glad that we asked the question. Let me ask you this one. I want to pull something from sort of the pre-interview notes that I took here. I want to read back something that you said. I want to read it back to you and just sort of allow you to reflect on it, because I thought it was so cool. You had written, this is in your words, not mine. You had said, I hold the belief that we can reinvent ourselves as many times as we desire. And I thought that was a really important bit of coaching philosophy. Would you care to expand on that at all?
Yes, but if you don't mind, I want to ask you, what do you think of it? What emotions or thoughts evoked in you when you read something like that?
The idea, I suppose, well, we're talking about getting stuck, right? Like so frequently we're dealing with people who are stuck, and I think it's such an important self-evident truth. I believe that we can reinvent ourselves as many times as we desire, yet I don't think as many people fully realize that or come to believe that about themselves. They perhaps they believe it for others, but maybe not for themselves. And I just think it's a powerful statement and a powerful stance to be coaching from.
Bingo. And my clients are usually the one that think, oh, it can happen to someone else, but it cannot happen to me. So yes, I do strongly believe that we can live many lives, that while we are alive, we can change, we can grow. And as a matter of fact, the only constant thing in life is change. Everything is changing. Now, if we use it towards the better, we will get the most out of it. But if we're just not recognizing it or not acknowledging it or do not care about it, the change will happen. It's not going to be the change that we want. So a power of coaching is believing in a person, that a person can be everything that they want, that they deserve to be everything that they want, that they deserve to change their mind, that they deserve to want one thing one day and another thing another day. That's why every coaching session starts with, what are we working on today? We don't go back to what was discussed in a previous session unless a client mentions it. So every day is a new day to reinvent ourselves, to grow, to be better, to do better, to change our minds, to want something today, to want something else tomorrow. And where coaching comes in and coaches comes in is that we are that advocate for a change that our clients want to do. We are walking that walk with them. We are there for them because many times we are the only thing that they have. Maybe they don't have anyone in their immediate family that understands them, friends. And we are that support system and we are that, I want to say, champion and believer that they can do whatever they want because every person is a whole person. Sometimes you forget, life gets rough around the edges or a different experience happen and then all fear starts to grow in us and disbelief and limiting beliefs. When we work on limiting beliefs, and this is a big in NLP, is that when you really drill them and you really kind of like spend time, and I want to say that's where the radical honesty comes in, because we need to be able to identify what it is. We need to be able to speak about what it is, but it's not always the easiest thing. That's not the starting point in my coaching. As a matter of fact, it takes, I want to say from experience, 4+, and I'm being very, very generous here, sessions to get to scratch the surface, because we like to tell ourselves lies, not necessarily because we do it consciously, it's because it's easier to do it. So that's where the art and craft comes in, to be able to work with a client and to have that type of conversation and dialogue where they will open up, they will understand, they will self-reflect, they will have those aha moments without it being forced, without it being as painless as possible. So yeah, it's the belief that we are drilling those limiting beliefs, we are taking what is serving us, we are like, it's like shedding our own skin and off to the next one.
Okay. And then, so tell me then, so limiting, thank you for all that, by the way. So then tell me, so limiting beliefs, this is something that we all struggle with, right? As coaches, because we see these across the table. What's your sort of secret recipe for working through a limiting belief?
Understanding where it's coming from, understanding who put that in our map. Again, NLP, like, is it surrounding, family, school system? And again, to go back to the, they say you mold a person until they're 5, 6, 7, 3, depending on who you read and what school are you, psychology school or philosophy school you're pursuing. And later on, it's a correction of what was done. So identifying it, understanding it as much as we can in any moment, even if it's just, realizing that's a limiting belief, that's already a step in the right direction. And there are a lot of sets of exercises that we can do, but I want to say facing it, do something small that it's not going to be as life-threatening, or, you know, meeting your client halfway of what they're willing to. It's almost like when it comes to that point and the floor is open for a coach to do an intervention or get invited, it's the manner of a dance. What will be a change? But not too big of a change that maybe they will not end up doing it. They will agree with me that they will do it, but they end up not doing it. So what will be small enough, but in the same time, big enough for them to actually commit and do it. And then they do that one thing and they realize, oh my God, you know, this is not that difficult. But then leaving that floor open for every next session for them to be able to say, you know what, I regress. And okay, let's drill that. Let's see what happened. And for a client not to be, oh, I have to say this to my coach so they don't think less of me, or they don't think that they're not helping. So it's human nature is a very complex thing. It starts good coaching to me and for me and what I've experienced being on both giving and receiving end is having a coach, a person with life experience, I want to say, but also a person that has that scholar mindset and they are willing to read and just educate themselves, because it's never ending. It all goes back to that three or four things, you know, Rome or antique Greece, and it stems from that and just different takes on it. But as a coach, you kind of like owe it to your client and you owe it to your craft to always learn and always see what is it, or at least there are so many techniques in my mind that I kind of like tie to one, and they're different approaches. But to me, it's like the base is the same.
Yeah. Do you ever think that, do you ever get the sense that one day you're going to be done, you will have been fully trained as a coach and that's it, you're good? Or do you think it's like life learning, forever honing the craft?
Great question, Eric. I believe it's life learning, but I want to take it in a way that gives me pleasure and it doesn't, my perfectionist nature doesn't kick in. It's not, I have to, it's like, I want to. Because it gives me joy, it gives me pleasure, and I think I'm able to serve more. Because to me, it comes down to being able to serve. When you're in this line of business, working with people, the way we work, it's about serving them.
I do like the idea of for oneself. And you know, you bring something else, that perfectionism is such an interesting one too, because that is something that I've noticed in my work, and I think a lot of us have, that it's a huge struggle, this idea that everything must be perfect before we can execute or hit the go button or whatever. It's hard to overcome that if that's your particular affliction.
It's very hard, and I'm still working on it. It's the never-ending loop. Procrastinating comes from perfectionism, and you don't start the task because you are in your mind, it's not going to be perfect, or I will not have enough time, or whatever it is. And then you procrastinate, and then you avoid. It's a cycle, and I'm still learning and I'm still working on myself. And like I mentioned to you, offline, I am on the receiving end, or receiving coaching in a PQ course of positive intelligence. And I'm working my PQ reps every day. I'm reading my book. I'm doing everything. Yes, yes, the touch and all of that. And at least the blind spots that I see, I'm working on it. And it's a work in progress. I don't think you're ever going to be, at least in my case, I don't think I will ever be like, oh, well, now it's always the next thing. There's always some map in my mind that someone else put, or I collected along the way in those formative years, that becoming aware of it and then dealing with it. It's like sweeping the floor. There's always a corner that you didn't see.
That's a good analogy, yeah. I think for me, that's what keeps it sort of exciting too, the idea that there's continually something to work on. Earlier in this conversation, you had said that if only you could be paid to stay in school, you would stay in school the rest of your life. I mean, I can certainly understand that. And I think, you know, coaching is one of those things where I don't think it ever ends. I think as the problems evolve and the techniques evolve and as the times change, it's all going to be a continual, something that we can pursue in perpetuity, I think. Coaching excellence, right? My opinion only. Hey, we're sort of getting near the end of it here, but before we go, and you know, I want to get your thoughts on sort of the future of coaching and sort of where you see it going. But before we get into that last question, I just want to invite you to share with the listeners, if our conversation today has compelled anyone to want to reach out or to work with you or to find you online or out there in the world, where would our listeners be able to connect with you or find you?
Thank you, Eric. So they can find me on, I want to say, LinkedIn, my name and last name. My website is recalcoaching.com. My email is info@recalcoaching.com. They can also find me on Instagram. I think it's, oh my God, I need to know that. It's re underscore Cal coaching. I wrote it to you. I don't know. I need to get better with Instagram, definitely. But LinkedIn, I spend a lot of my time there. And I guess the email, which is, again, info@recalcoaching.com.
Well, info@recalcoaching.com. And I've got it here as recal_coaching on Instagram. Okay. Well, hey, here we are. Nicely done today. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I've really enjoyed this. And it's really been a nice, far-reaching and wide-ranging conversation. So thank you, Milena, for being here and taking us through it. Last question before we go. Tell me, you know, we ask this of all the coaches. The future is a big, wide open space. When you look into the crystal ball and think about the future of coaching, what is it? What is it that you see?
Just as you said, it's evolving fields, and I see it becoming more regulated. And I see it as a field that all of us, with the desire to be, lifelong learners, can contribute in a way. With maybe new frameworks or improving processes is definitely a field that it's excited to be part of at this very moment in time. And I just see it keep getting more regulated. And I also see it as not the field itself, but just the awareness of people. And I've noticed that in the recent years, people are becoming more and more aware of power of coaching. And that's amazing to see. And I do see it being, more recognized and just better understood among masses, among, regular people, among everyone. So it is definitely an exciting time, but definitely it's going towards regulation, being more regulated. And I'm not going to say definitely one more time, but I do want to say that I enjoyed having this time with you. And I wish that our listeners can see how matchy-matchy we are, because we can see each other in video. We are both with white shirts and we're good to go. You know, Eric, maybe this podcast with time will have its video component, but I enjoyed spending this time with you, answering your questions, and it was short and sweet. And I always like to talk. So if I talk too much, cut it.
My pleasure. That won't be a problem. There's very little to cut here, Milena. It has been really a like I said, a wide-ranging conversation with a lot of really, really great things to pass on to the listeners. So I thank you for being here and just having the conversation with us and the listenership today. Thanks.
Thank you.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coach's Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.